RingCentral's AI receptionist uses voice AI to answer on the first ring, so you'll never miss a call again. In just a few minutes, you can personalize your own AI receptionist to answer questions, route calls, schedule appointments, and even send texts in multiple languages. Plus, it's easy to scale. Create unlimited AI receptionists across any phone system. It's all powered by one reliable platform for effortless AI communications. See for yourself at ringcentral.com. RingCentral, voice of your business.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
You've built a killer sports podcast. You bring the heat every week, and you have a loyal audience. But when it comes to monetizing, you're still leaving too much on the table. That's where the Odyssey Creator Lab comes in. We host your show for free. No fees, no catch. You focus on delivering the play-by-play and hot takes, and our experienced sales team goes to work bringing in ad dollars. Let's turn those downloads into revenue. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and start making money from your podcast.
One Bills Live, presented by Kaleida Health.
Welcome back to One Bills Live. Chris Brown, Steve Tasker with you, and pleased to be joined now by former NFL linebacker. 9 seasons in the NFL, 7 for the Eagles, 2 for the Falcons, and also on WIP in Philadelphia. It's Ike Reese joining us. And Ike, thanks for the time, especially on Christmas Eve. We appreciate it. I guess I want to start here because the Eagles are 10-5. They've already clinched the division, and fans are still shouting from the rooftops. What does the Eagles' performance here late in the season, why does it not look right to Eagles fans? What's the problem?
Well, it's been a little bit of a struggle all year for us. You know, they've had moments where they've looked good, and then they've had moments where it looks like they regress and there's no development, particularly on the offensive side of the ball. So you know how it is. The defense has pretty much, you know, held down their part and been doing their job all year. The offense has been a little bit up and down. So, you know, we as Eagles fans, you know, standards are high just based on the success that the team has had. And you look at the amount of talent that they have, you can understand why the expectations are high. So Steve would tell you, you know, as a former player, a win is a win in my book. Right. I mean, you win and then you try to find things you want to correct. But I'm sure for the fans, that's not the case a lot of times. And I'll tell you this, the last couple of weeks, they're starting to sort of hopefully round themselves into form, and they're looking a little bit more like last year's Super Bowl team. And we're hoping that can continue. But this week is the test. You know, no disrespect to the Raiders and the Commanders, but those are games that the Eagles should have won. This will be a real test on the road against a team that has the same aspirations that the Eagles have.
You said it. It really is about the way it looks, right? I mean, the win is a win, yeah. But it doesn't give fans confidence when they're going out and they're squeaking by, or it looks, in fact, forget about it. It looks different than it did when they won the world championship last year. And that gives fans some hesitation, right? At least.
Yeah. Yes. And listen, we, you know, as the radio station down here, we like to help facilitate that and allow for fans to be able to vent their frustrations. And that's okay. I've been in this city for 28 years, right, since I got drafted. As a player, I understood it. You know, my old quarterback and my old head coach, they caught a lot of flack when we didn't play well, and it's just that way. So The fans aren't going to change. I tell the players all the time, you know, I'm like, listen, these fans aren't going to change. They were here before us, and they'll be here long after we're done playing. So it just comes with the territory of playing in Philadelphia. And, you know, you got to be able to have thick skin and block some of that stuff out.
I know there's a chance that Jalen Carter could be back in the lineup this week. And, I mean, he's arguably your best defensive player. What is the deal with the two shoulders, and what do you feel about whether or not he has been the same difference-making player this year in comparison to last year?
Well, this is no slight to Jalen. It's just how phenomenal he is as a player when he's healthy, and he displayed that last year. This year, he's just not been healthy. He tried to sort of fight through it and play through it through the early portions of the season. And then reports came out that he had some sort of procedure to sort of alleviate some pain from his shoulders. And then they realized that rest would be the best way to go for him. So to his credit, he tried to gut it out and be out there playing every snap. He hasn't been the same effective player consistently that we're accustomed to seeing. And I think a lot of it does have to do with him not being 100% healthy. I know he's itching to get back out there, but they wanted him to take that time off so that he can have this playoff push. And so hopefully he's going to be back this week against that Buffalo offense in the run game. We're going to need him out there.
So, and one of the differences this year, you know, Jalen Carter has been nicked up. And I say this, you can kind of see it coming down the pike. Saquon Barkley, you knew he wasn't going to rush for another 2,000 yards. You just haven't seen that. So you knew he would probably take a step back to the mean this season. And that in and of itself has changed the way their offense has. But they have still found ways to score enough points to win. And I know they went through a three-game losing streak, you know, 3 weeks ago. They were coming off it. Yeah. And that's tough for everybody in the whole building. What do you think the tone of their locker room is now? Certainly the Commanders and the Raiders will get you back on track, but yeah. Where's their locker room sit now?
And getting those wins start to breed positivity in the building. And you guys mentioned it. Listen, losing one game in this city is bad enough. You lose two in a row, three in a row. Yeah, we can't handle that. It was a pretty tough time there for those 3 or 4 weeks. And the last couple of weeks, I got to admit, the messaging coming out of the locker room has been a lot more unified and supportive of each other. And it seems like they're getting back on the right track. And you mentioned Saquon, Steve. Physically, I'm sure he'll tell you there's no difference, but we see that there's a slight difference than what we saw last year. But I would say that the bigger issue has been the offensive line and them not being completely healthy all year long and not being as effective as they were last year. They're starting to get it going now. The last couple of weeks, you know, they run the ball pretty well. Last week they ran it for over 200 yards. So it's starting to look like the 2024 Eagles compared to what we saw earlier. I mean, those first 10 to 12 games running the ball, I don't know if Saquon was averaging 3 yards a carry. I mean, that's how bad it was. It was pretty tough. And they're starting to get back to doing that. And I think that's where they want to be as an identity. They want to run the football. They want to try to run the football that sets up the passing game. Jalen, being a part of the running game, has also helped over the last couple of weeks. So they're starting to get back to being where they were last year. And I think it's because we're starting to get a little healthier.
On the defensive side, I mean, I know I mentioned Carter already, but, you know, the two corners get named to the Pro Bowl. I mean, young players. I mean, still on their rookie contracts. But, I mean, you look at some of their numbers, pass breakups alone, you know, between DeGene and Mitchell. Like, these guys, if they don't have a ton of picks, they are getting their hands in passing lanes an awful lot. Like, how hard is it to throw on this team?
It's been a great pleasure to watch the last 2 years. I mean, both of these young guys had phenomenal rookie seasons. And then, you know, they took their game to the next level coming back the second year, even after all the success they had last year and winning the Super Bowl. Sometimes you just don't know with young players and how they're going to come back the next year. These two worked tremendously hard this offseason. Quinyon, I'll start with him. He doesn't get a whole lot of opportunities over there because teams just won't throw to his side. He's taking his game to the next level because this year he's traveled with the top receivers a lot. So whether it's left, right, slot, or what have you, Quinyon has traveled with those guys. And outside of Patrick Surtain II, I think Quinyon Mitchell is an all-pro corner. He's a top two corner in this league with his abilities. And Cooper DeJean, who I loved coming out of college, I wanted the Eagles to take him in the first round last year. They got him, they were lucky enough to get him in the second round. I just think he's a complete football player. You can line him up inside. You can line him up outside. You can put him in that box as a quasi-linebacker. He's a short tackler. I just love watching them both play. Two young guys, very humble, but very confident. And you look at that defense with those young players over there, including Jalen Carter, Jordan Davis. The future is bright for our young guys. So we're happy to see those young guys get the Pro Bowl nod this year because they certainly have played at that level.
Ike, we've had some narrative here in Buffalo about the AFC bracket being a little bit more wide open. Mahomes is out of the playoffs, Lamar's out of the playoffs, Joe Burrow's out of the playoffs, and it's looks a little bit at first glance like that's the case in the NFC. Seattle is a team going there, haven't been there in a while. Chicago, of course, hasn't been there in a while. And Carolina, the three other division leaders, they don't seem to have very much playoff experience, but the Philadelphia Eagles, you guys, you know, you're the first repeat champion of the NFC East in 21 years.
Yeah, you know, it's funny because when you are defending champions, right, you're sort of judged differently. So we went from being sort of expected to be there and repeat. And because it hasn't looked as good to a lot of people who are analyzing the team, we've almost slid into an underdog role. Like, it's almost like the Rams and Seattle have been talked about more, especially the Rams. You know, they won a Super Bowl 4 years ago. Matthew Stafford is playing at an MVP level this year. They seem to be clicking on all cylinders. So we've gotten more of, can you beat the Rams? And, you know, can you beat the Rams this year? And so that's kind of, I can appreciate that because we've kind of performed better in the underdog role. It's tough when everybody expects us to win. We don't handle that very well. So I think the narrative we've been getting is, are you guys going to be good enough to beat the Rams? The Rams are the team to beat in the NFC.
Yeah, that was a tight playoff game between you two teams last year. I mean, you guys kind of narrowly escaped and then pulled away at the end. I have an offensive question for you, Ike, because we know all the angst and the back and forth with A.J. Brown. That looks to have been smoothed over here in recent weeks. My question to you is about Dallas Goedert. We know he's battled injuries in the past. He's had trouble staying healthy. This year, he not only leads the team with 10 receiving touchdowns, he leads all tight ends in football with 10 touchdowns this year. What has been the secret to his sharp spike in production from a scoring perspective, and how has Jalen and he connected most? Is it strictly red zone stuff, or is it more varied than that?
It's a lot of it is in the red zone, but it's certainly out in the open field. I love that they have finally connected. You know, part of it is, you know, Dallas has missed time over the last couple of years.
Right.
You know, he'll miss three or four games here or three or four games there. And so that rhythm wasn't necessarily there. It seems like this year they found that connection, especially down in the red zone. We've been screaming about that for years. Like, use Dallas Goedert. 6'5", he got that big body, he's very athletic. And they connected early and often, and I'm glad they've sort of stuck with it. Happy for Dallas. He's been, I think this is his eighth or ninth year with the Eagles. So it's good to see he's finally, you know, playing to that level that everybody expects him to sort of play to. And in this offense, it can't be easy when you have so many different mouths that have to be fed. You got Devontae Smith, you got A.J. Brown, you got Saquon Barkley. So you have to make the most of your opportunities when they come. And I think for whatever reason, Jalen has found that comfort level with Dallas, working the hash marks, working him outside the numbers. And like you said, more importantly, down in that red zone, that big body down in the red zone, you know, a lot of those touchdowns, Dallas has covered it and you know, Jalen had just put it up there, and Dallas pulls it out of the sky. So he has been a pleasure to watch this year. We always knew the ability was there.
Right.
It was just a matter of him playing to that level.
Well, last one from me. You mentioned Saquon Barkley. We knew he'd take a step back a little bit, and you said the offensive line hasn't been as productive. How big a difference would Lane Johnson make if he is indeed back in the lineup this week? You hear a lot about his Hall of Fame credentials, and he is one of the all-timers. I mean, can getting a guy like that, not just the production, but also the voice and the presence back in the huddle, how big a difference could that make going down the stretch?
I think it makes a big difference. He's one of the elder statesmen on the team. Well, we brought BG back, so now he's the oldest on the team. Mm-hmm. Again. But Lane, in his, 13 years, you know, he's earned that respect. And I think when he's out there, that whole group collectively, they just feel more confident. They know the greatness in which Lane brings. You're talking about a guy that can get out on the perimeter and block. He's very athletic. And I'm sure, you know, Fred Johnson's done a very admirable job filling in for Lane. He's just not the athlete that Lane is when Lane gets in the open field. So, and they're running those stretch plays down the field. So we'll certainly be excited when he comes back. Hoping it's this week, but if it's not this week, hopefully next week. But yeah, when he's out there and they're out there as a collective unit, I think in the run game, they're awesome. But probably more importantly, in the passing game, you almost don't even have to worry about putting anybody over there to help Lane. Lane can take care of whomever he has to block over there on his own. So I think that allows for Coach Fallon and Coach Petullo to be able to give help in other areas of need. So,
Ike, thanks for the time. We appreciate it. Have a Merry Christmas with you and your family. It should be a good one this weekend. Thanks for the time.
Same to you, Chris. Steve, always a pleasure, brother.
Thanks, Ike.
That's Ike Reese from WIP in Philadelphia. We will take a break here. Be back with more on this Christmas Eve edition of One Bills Live, presented by Kaleida Health. It's Buffalo Bills Radio.
RingCentral's AI receptionist uses voice AI to answer on the first ring, so you'll never miss a call again. In just a few minutes, you can personalize your own AI receptionist to answer questions, route calls, schedule appointments, and even send texts in multiple languages. Plus, it's easy to scale. Create unlimited AI receptionists across any phone system. It's all powered by one reliable platform for effortless AI communications. See for yourself at ringcentral.com. RingCentral, voice of your business.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. TNCs apply. In app only.
DSW's semi-annual sale is back. Take 50% off all clearance shoes in stores for a limited time. Literally every single clearance item at your designer shoe warehouse store is on sale right now. Sneakers, boots, dress shoes, if they're on the clearance racks, they're 50% off. So what are you waiting for? Don't sleep on these savings. Get to DSW ASAP. It's all or nothing, people. Shop the DSW semi-annual sale today.
You've built a killer sports podcast. You bring the heat every week, and you have a loyal audience. But when it comes to monetizing, you're still leaving too much on the table. That's where the Odyssey Creator Lab comes in. We host your show for free. No fees, no catch. You focus on delivering the play-by-play and hot takes, and our experienced sales team goes to work bringing in ad dollars. Let's turn those downloads into revenue. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and start making money from your podcast.
Motion right to left from Shakir. Hand off to Johnson, and he races into the end zone for an easy 2-yard touchdown run.
Bills and Eagles on Sunday. It's a football Friday here on WGR. Hope everyone had a Merry Christmas yesterday. Got everything you wanted. Chris Brown with us now on the Wester Hotline. Chris, favorite gift that you got yesterday? What'd you get?
Got a new coffee machine, so pretty happy about that.
Nice.
My old one was kind of petering out, so very very timely gift for sure.
Well, good. This game, Chris, on Sunday between the Bills and the Eagles, we'll see. It could be a rainy affair. How do you look at these two teams and how they match up? Do you think it could be one of those games that it's two great teams, defending Super Bowl champion, Bills have the longest playoff streak now in the league, but both teams tend to play these slower, lower-scoring games, and maybe that's what we get Sunday?
Yeah, I'm fully expecting both teams to try to come out and establish their run game. So I think early on it could look like a rock fight with just teams trying to mash at the line of scrimmage against one another. And I think we know the caliber of Buffalo's offensive line and the caliber of the Eagles' defensive line. And I don't know that the Eagles' offensive line is as strong as it was last year, but it's still probably a top five line in the league. So how does Buffalo's defensive front hold up to that? I think that'll be a big determining factor there in the early going.
Yeah, and without them having Lane Johnson, that's obviously a big critical part of that too. And he has not practiced this week. We'll see if that changes at all today. But if they don't have him, that's obviously a big difference. The Bills' offense, Chris, against this Eagles' defense, how do you expect if there's any limiting of Josh Allen that would look? Would you think, you know, running the ball with him specifically, long developing plays, and maybe there's a lot more of a quick game today, or do you think they'll, or on Sunday, or do you think they'll change anything on that front?
Yeah, I really am interested to see what Coach McDermott says today, you know, about Josh, because every time you ask Josh about, you know, an ailment or some little nick that he's got, he downplays it, says he'll be fine. But if his mobility is compromised, that does shrink the playbook to some degree. Like, can he do bootlegs? Can he do rollouts? Are you avoiding those? Is, you know, design runs, as you said, off the table now? So I'm curious to hear what Coach has to say today, number one. And then number two, you know, in the game, what are we seeing Josh do and not do? Because I think it was pretty evident once that foot injury happened, they didn't really put him out on the move very much in the second half of that football game.
Right. Yeah, and we'll see what Sean McDermott says today when he's on the Extra Point Show. He'll do his media availability after that as well. The injury report in totality, Chris, they're starting to pile up, at least for this week. We'll see about Kincaid and Knox. That's kind of a tough one, too. Like, if both were unavailable, I don't know what their passing offense looks like, whatever, you know, volume they would throw the ball. I mean, those two have been critical parts this year. And if you're just going in with Jackson Hawes and then someone from the practice squad, like that's a pretty big loss depending on, again, their availability.
Right. I tend to believe that the Kincaid thing is something we're going to see every week going forward. I think he's going to miss either 1 or 2 days of practice every week the rest of the way here as part of their injury management with him. It's pretty clear this is going to be a knee injury that's going to require attention in the off season. So they're just managing it now. And I would anticipate, you know, he's going to be on the injury report every week for the rest of the season and probably miss a day or two of practice, because as Coach McDermott said last week, the ultimate goal is to have him as fresh as possible for the game. So I think we have to take that into account with regard to Kincaid's listing. You're right, though. Knox is a new addition. So we'll have to see where that goes today. And you're right. Like, they've really leaned in to the tight ends and backs in their passing game because their receivers have been inconsistent. And I think I'm being kind with that description. There just hasn't been enough production from the receiving core outside of Shakir on a consistent basis. And I think they've turned to other areas to find that consistency, namely their tight ends and their backs. And, you know, if you're missing those guys in numbers, that's a problem.
Yeah. Is there any one of those receivers right now, Chris? I mean, really, it's the group as a whole, but is there any one guy that you feel like is most likely to become someone that Allen trusts down the stretch here?
Well, I think we know that Josh already trusts Gabe Davis. And so I think in light of what you have not gotten from your receiving core the last 2 weeks, I would be surprised if he is not reinserted into the lineup, because there's a history there. There's production there in big games. And I don't know that you can really say that about anyone else in that receiving core. I'm talking receivers only, besides Shakir, who has come up big for Josh, as we know, even in playoff games. So outside of those two, you know, there just isn't enough of a track record of consistent production. It just seems like the offensive staff is spinning the dial every week, trying to find a combination that's going to click in the passing game for the Bills, and they still haven't found it yet, which is a little disconcerting in week 17.
Yeah. On the other side of the ball, how, I mean, the Bills, we know their history this season at run defense. The Eagles are not the same rush attack they were last year, though. So I guess how concerned are you, and do you think Bills fans should be about that specific matchup for Sunday?
I think they should be concerned. It's the reigning offensive player of the year in Saquon Barkley. And yes, you know, the run game for the Eagles has found traction the last 2 weeks against the Raiders and Commanders, who are not good run defenses, but I think we all know the Bills don't rank very highly in that area either. So I anticipate the Eagles are going to try to test that. I mean, any good offensive coordinator would, just by looking at their ranking against the run. So I think they're going to challenge them with Saquon, and you better be ready to wrap up or at least hang on to one of those 32-inch quads, you know, that Saquon has until help arrives, because he is still very elusive, very powerful, and very fast, which is what makes him so gifted as a runner. And you really have to keep those gains under 10 yards. You cannot give him explosives, or it's going to be a long afternoon.
Yeah. How does the idea of a game plan sound to you of you sell out to stop their run at all costs, and you dare Jalen Hurts to beat you through the air? Does that sound like a game plan that you think could get them killed, or do you feel like that's the right way to approach it?
Well, yeah, that's kind of the problem here, Joe, right? Because you can dedicate assets to stopping Barkley and trust the guys on the back end, who I will say, like, coverage-wise, you know, they've really kind of stepped up their game on the back end, I feel the Bills have, in the coverage area. But Poyer is a question mark, and he's kind of been instrumental in getting people lined up pre-snap. So that's something that we're going to have to keep an eye on. And then the lack of a consistent pass rush by just rushing four compromises that plan, because, you know, if it is an obvious passing down, yes, you're still mindful of Barkley on a screen, which is an area they got victimized last week. So I just think there's a lot of bases to cover with this Eagles offense. And, you know, we haven't even mentioned Dallas Goedert, who is tied for the league lead among tight ends with 10 touchdowns. So to me, it's more than just an A.J. Brown problem in the passing game. And when you have to dedicate extra assets to your pass rush, you kind of leave yourself, you know, in one-on-one situations on the back end with some pretty elite talent.
Yep. Smith, too, of course, on the offense as well. Sunday, Bills and Eagles, second-to-last home game. Chris, thanks again for jumping on, and we'll talk to you on Sunday.
All right. Take care. Have a good weekend.
Chris Brown on the Western Hotline, One Bills Live a little bit later on. Sean McDermott on the Extra Point Show today here on a Football Friday. The Bills a slight favorite over Philadelphia. We'll take a look at some of more of their games when we come back, especially some of these gross, low-scoring games that we've mentioned that Philly plays this year. So they've done that against some good teams. That, when we come back, your phone calls. We got open hour coming up at 9 o'clock if you got a thought on the game or the AFC playoff field, as Denver doesn't look impressive at all. And that could be a team the Bills see down the road. 803-0550 is the phone number here on WGR.
Yeah, I mean, I think the way that I put it in terms is, to win the lottery, you got to buy a ticket. To win a Super Bowl, you got to make the playoffs. Getting into the playoffs is our ticket. What we do with that is up to us, and going out there and executing each and every week and you want to go into the playoffs playing as well as you can, and obviously there's still a chance for us to win the division, and obviously we need help doing that. But at the end of the day, we want to come out and take it one game at a time and still have that backs against the wall mentality and try to play our best football going into it.
Bills quarterback Josh Allen talking about just getting in. You get in and then you see what happens. And that's right. I think this year, more than any year that I can remember, I mean, there's been a lot of talk about who's not in the playoffs, right? No Patrick Mahomes, maybe, likely, no Lamar Jackson. He's injured. We'll get to that game in a minute here tomorrow. No Joe Burrow. New quarterbacks, young quarterbacks, new coaches. And here you have the Bills and Josh Allen and Sean McDermott and this organization that's been highly successful, that's had these opportunities, but these teams have stood in their way. And they're gone. They're out of the way. So you go do it. But there's no guarantees. You finish with that 5, 6, or 7 seed, you're going on the road, right? And it's tough to do. It's tough to go on the road 3 straight games in the NFL in the regular season, let alone the playoffs. But you got to get there first. And then you let the chips fall where they may, and you do what you can with it. We'll get to the weekend schedule in just a moment. But first, Bills head coach Sean McDermott joins us here on the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show for his weekly radio segment.
You're listening to Buffalo Bills Football Friday on the home of the Bills, WGR Sports Radio 550.
Brought to you by Northwest Bank. For what's next, get started at northwest.com. By Kaleida Health, the official healthcare provider of the Buffalo Bills. And by Northtown Kia, Western New York's number one Kia dealer. Shop at northtownkia.com. Now, here's Sal Capaccio with Buffalo Bills head coach Sean McDermott.
Bills head coach Sean McDermott joins me right now on the West Her Hotline. Good morning, coach. Happy Football Friday and Merry Christmas. Belated Christmas. Hope you and your family had an outstanding Christmas.
Well, Merry Christmas belatedly to you guys as well. And we had a great Christmas, very blessed, and had some good time to just be together as a family.
And, of course, when it comes to the team, you guys changed up the schedule a little bit this week. But what does it mean for you guys as a team to kind of come together as a team, celebrate Christmas, and how it goes about doing that as a football family?
Well, when you share experiences like that, right, it brings you closer together. You hope that's part of the goal. And, you know, we were able to spend some time together. And I know some of the teammates, some of the guys got together at each other's houses yesterday, and you're just able to spend some of that time off the field together, which is so important for us as a team.
Yeah, I love hearing that. Coach, I know right before you do this interview, you were on a Fox Sports production. Tom Brady's doing the game, and of course you competed against Tom, you coached against him, and now he's in this different role. What's it been like for you getting to know Tom Brady as a media analyst?
Yeah, it's a little different. You know, you spend so many of waking hours when you're going against Tom Brady trying to beat him, and you know, you're not really a fan. I would just say that respectfully.
Yes.
And in this case, you know, he's moved into a different chapter of his life. So we've got, a closer working relationship now than we did before. But, man, was he tough to beat and tough to go against. But it's good to see him having hung up the cleats and in this new chapter of his life.
We'll get to the game he's doing. You're playing the Eagles this week in just a moment. Let's do a quick rewind to last week. A close game, close for comfort in the fourth quarter. You guys were able to pull it out. A couple of important defensive stops. What do you find out about your team when you go through moments like that where you got to come up with big plays and big moments and guys step up to make those plays?
Well, it certainly tests you, right? It tests you in a lot of ways, mentally, physically, strategically as well. So, you know, sometimes it looks easy that we're pulling some of those things out or executing at the level we are in those moments, but there's a lot that goes into it, obviously, and the players and coaches have done a great job with that.
We had some Pro Bowl announcements earlier this week, Coach. Josh Allen, James Cook, Deion Dawkins. What's it mean for these guys to be honored in that fashion? And of course, there's always guys that you think maybe deserve that recognition. I know there are bigger goals and team goals, of course, but pretty cool to see those guys get recognized.
Well, it is. It's great recognition for them. And those, to some extent, are also team
That's right.
Mentions, team awards as well. So those guys have been very unselfish in their approach and yet at the same time separated themselves from the pack, if you will, and that's why they're recognized like they are.
James Cook currently leads the NFL in rushing yards. He's over 1,500. What has made James so special this year? And by the way, I mean, you know, carrying a big load too. He leads the NFL in attempts. You guys are not afraid to put a lot on James, and he's rewarded you this year and himself. What is it? What has made him so special this year?
Well, his mindset, his attitude, you know, the look in his eye week in and week out, in particular on the back half of the season, I would say, last four games, and he's been able to motivate, influence, and inspire our team with not only his play but also his approach on the sideline and day-to-day really in the building here.
Sean McDermott on the Western Hotline. Coach, you got a lot of guys on the names on the injury report. I know you had a couple of a walkthrough and he didn't practice yesterday. Is there anybody you know as of right now on the active roster who will not play on Sunday?
Well, we've got three that I know for sure right now. Jordan Phillips, our defensive tackle, Matt Prater, our kicker, and then Jordan Poyer, our safety, will all miss this game and be out of practice today.
Okay, you had a few other DNPs. I'll just ask you about Daquan Jones, Dalton Kincaid, and Dawson Knox to start. Do you anticipate them practicing today and seeing where that goes?
Yeah, we'll see where it goes. You know, they're all on kind of a case-by-case basis at this point.
Josh Allen, of course, notable with the foot injury. How do you feel that you know, he's progressed through the week as far as any limitations that he has?
No, he's gotten better each day and is trending in the right direction, and we'll be ready to play here.
And then, of course, Matt Prater, kicker, obviously. You guys had Michael Badgley. I know you did bring in a few kickers to work out, so it seems like it would trend towards him not playing. So Badgley is your kicker right now on the roster, and the confidence that you have in him after, you know, last week and trying to bounce back.
Well, it's never easy to come into a team, especially late in the year. You know, there were some kicks that he made that I thought were good kicks for us, in particular the field goal in the third or fourth quarter there that he made. And we move forward, and it's important that someone's confidence is where it needs to be, and he knows that that's where he has to get to, and we're going to help him with that, and that'll be a part of our game and how it goes for us this weekend.
And of course, this weekend you play the Philadelphia Eagles, Coach, the defending Super Bowl champions, coming to town. You're very familiar with this organization, of course, having spent some time there, but excellent on both sides of the ball. What stands out to you about what they do on offense with a dynamic running back, and of course, Jalen Hurts that wide receiver core?
Yeah, you mentioned a talented team. You know, very talented team. They're talented up front on both sides of the ball. You know, you mentioned their running back, obviously, you know, one of a kind and what he's been able to accomplish over the years, and then the two wide receivers as well. So tough outfit to bottle up. We'll have our hands full with the challenge, but we look forward to it.
And then, of course, on the defensive side, they're loaded with first-round picks over there, a lot of talented guys, especially up front. How critical is a game like this up front for your guys on the line of scrimmage?
Yeah, that's going to be huge for us. If you want to control the game, you got to control the line of scrimmage. That's really where it starts for us.
All right, thanks a lot, Coach. I know you got some other media to do today. Look forward to Sunday, and again, Merry Christmas, belated Christmas to your family, and we'll see you on Sunday.
Thanks. Same to you and everyone out there. Have a great weekend.
All right, you too. That is Bills head coach Sean McDermott. So he has declared out Jordan Phillips, Matt Prater, and Jordan Poyer. So Matt Prater out, Michael Badgley still the kicker. They did bring in a couple of guys this week. They did not sign anybody. So that means that Michael Badgley will still be getting the call, I guess, unless they sign somebody today. I guess that could happen. But it looks like that's the case, and I like that. You know, to stick by him, and you get a couple of big kicks you had to make. And, you know, last week he missed one, but obviously made a couple other kicks. We'll see if that matters in this game. Jordan Phillips out for the game. Jordan Poyer out for the game. What does that mean about nickel and safety and where everything trends as far as Cam Lewis is concerned, as far as Jordan Hancock, Darnell Savage? Maybe we get a little bit of him. And then nothing at wide receiver as far as anybody. That's the thing. You look at the injury report, there's nothing as far as wide receiver is concerned as far as anybody you know, on the injury report. So whatever happens at wide receiver, basically healthy scratches, right? I mean, so if you get no Keon, if you get no Gabe Davis, these are all healthy scratches. And I am curious what they're going to do. 803-0550, we're going to get Pat Hammer on the phone in just a moment, and we will give you the weather outlook for Sunday's game. Bills take on the Philadelphia Eagles, defending Super Bowl champions. Boy, the Eagles, if you ever need an example outside of Buffalo of a team that is kind of like, you know, things that we're dealing with here, that we talk about in other places, The Eagles are certainly at the top of it. Here's the defending Super Bowl champs. They're 10-5 on the year. I mean, the Bills are 11-4. And yet, it has been a roller coaster of emotions and talk in Philly on what their season is or can be or has been. They get the Bills, then they're back home for one final game against the Commanders. And they have a chance at the 2 seed. They'd have to win the next 2 games. Now, it's possible because the Bears, who they're chasing, are playing the 49ers. We'll do the schedule in just a little while. Let's get now, though, to WGRZ TV2 Chief Meteorologist Patrick Hammer.
Break it down.
When you need to know what to wear, is it going to rain? Is it going to snow? What to prepare for? You're about to find out. Here's Sal Capaccio with your game day forecast with Channel 2 weatherman extraordinaire. Here's Patrick.
Have a time.
And Pat Hammer joins me on the West Her Hotline. Thanks a lot, buddy, for being patient. Of course, Sean McDermott. We have to get the injury report. And, of course, always very important to know who's on the field and who's not going to be. And very important to know the weather for Sunday. And that's why we bring you on every single week. So thank you. And I hope you had a very, very amazing Merry Christmas, you and your family.
We did. Thank you, Sal. Just the kids and myself and the wife, just like Coach said, just nice family time. It was good. Little chaos as well, but you know that goes with the territory.
No doubt about it.
We had a very nice Christmas. Thanks.
No doubt about it. All right, so let's start with the next couple of days. We have some interesting weather headed here today, and I think that's very top of mind and important for people during holiday travel. So what do you have for us here today throughout Western New York and into the weekend?
Yeah, so just in the short term, Sal, really messy this afternoon. I just went outside. The freezing rain has just begun. So we have got, it's going to be a mix of sleet, freezing rain, maybe some snow. The farther north you go, let's say the Falls, Lockport, you're likely going to see snow. Buffalo, it's going to be a combo of sleet and freezing rain, maybe a little snow in there. But then the South Towns, Orchard Park, down into the Southern Tier, it's going to be sleety and with some freezing rain. So that's over the afternoon. So if you are traveling in and around Western New York, take it slow. It is going to get kind of icy out there over the next couple of hours. So just a heads up. Now, this is followed by the second system that we're tracking that will be here on Sunday. And it is going to bring in some warmer air. And instead of sleet and freezing rain, we're going to have rain, it looks like, for the game on Sunday.
Not the best weather outlook you could have given me today.
Okay, 38 rain, in my opinion, is like the worst weather ever.
Yes, okay? Agreed.
I would rather have 21 in snow with a light wind, bring that any day. But when it's rainy and it's, you know, it's not cold, but it's cool, you know, it's not the greatest. Okay, it's not awful, but it's going to be slippery out there. The rain likely going to be arriving, you know, during the afternoon. It's likely going to be raining for tailgating at kickoff at 425 and probably raining throughout the game. Could there be some shifts and adjustments? Yes, but that's just how it looks right now. I don't think avoiding the rain is possible at this point.
All right, so when you say rain, are we talking a heavy downpour or just like, man, it's just going to be a steady nuisance all day?
I think it's going to be a steady nuisance. It doesn't look terribly heavy, but, you know, it is going to be, it's going to be, you know, noticeable. It's going to have an impact, I got to believe, on the ball, the field.
Yeah.
Your, you know, the you know, slipping and sliding maybe a little bit, you know, which always has you concerned with injuries as we're rounding up
sure.
the season. I don't want the whole let's get AJ Klein off the couch scenario once again with any late season injuries and that kind of thing can happen when you have wet weather. But that is going to be the case on Sunday.
Okay, as I have you on, if you need a minute to do this, go right ahead, because I'm springing this on you. You're getting me to think about this now. It's not far away, mm-hmm. but in the Meadowlands in New Jersey, the Patriots mm-hmm. play the Jets. That's Sunday at 1 p.m. Could you give us a, is it going to be bad there too? Because that could be the ultimate like equalizer weather when you have a 3-win team and the Bills fans are hoping the Jets can spring an upset. Like, are they looking at bad weather as well there?
No, they really aren't.
Okay.
The weather is coming from west to east.
Okay.
So, Sunday, you know, afternoon does not, the weather will not be there yet. So I think it's going to be, they're going to be okay for that game on Sunday. Yeah, you're right. It is a great equalizer, but, unfortunately, their weather looks a lot better than ours.
Okay. So what are we looking timeline wise? Let's walk through this on Sunday. If you're coming into town, a lot of people are coming in for the holidays, Saturday night, maybe they're driving in, Sunday morning they get up. It's not a 1 o'clock game, it's a 4:25 PM game. Is there any recommendation as far as when it might be a little better to get to the stadium, not to have the rain or anything like that impact it?
So, yeah. Oh man, I'm looking outside. It's getting icy here downtown. Okay. All right. Sunday morning, as the system's approaching, clouds are increasing. There actually could be, don't let this concern you, there could be a brief little window of freezing rain or even a snowflake Sunday morning. That goes away. Travel to the stadium should be fine. It should be mainly dry, mid-morning, late morning into the afternoon. But, you know, as tailgate parties are getting going, that's kind of when the rain begins. But again, it's just the rain. It's not going to be slippery. I mean, it's just going to be kind of that nuisance rain. The good news too, Sal, not a lot of wind. Okay. We're not worried about wind with this.
I like that.
So that's good. So I guess there could be worse weather. 38 rain and wind. We'll take the wind out of the equation. So that's good. It'll be a little bit of a breeze, but nothing that I'm too worried about. But yeah, it's going to be just one of those games. I feel like every time they play Philadelphia, yeah, it rains, right?
Well, the last time they're here, I think it was pretty bad. Yeah, it was rainy and super windy, actually, the last time they're in Buffalo. Yeah. And then when the Bills were in Philly a couple years ago, it was the same thing. It was rainy. It's kind of the same weather you're describing right now. It was a little bit warmer, if I remember, maybe, but it was not great weather. You're right about that. It always seems like Bills and Eagles get together, and that's the case. All right, after the game, drive home. You know, just be careful right out there and what it's going to be like Sunday night.
Yeah. Okay, so drive home is, you know, still wet. There's going to be a big change coming Monday. So if anybody's, you know, heading out or going somewhere, Monday's going to be a day that starts in the 40s, rain. By the afternoon, there's going to be snow and blowing snow. Winter is going to make a valiant return next week. As cold and snow come back. Remember when we were talking last week, like, I put all my chips on red, or, you know, that cold and snow is coming back, and that'll certainly be the case, it looks like, next week. And then, you know, even into January, we'll see. But, next week, as you're starting a new week and as we get ready for the following week against the Jets, there's going to be a lot of wintry weather next week.
Ooh,
leading up to the
weekend. All right. You're already teasing us with that one.
I know. Well, okay. So just speaking ahead way down the road, there's going to be some cold and lake effect snow going on later Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday. You know, maybe focused south of Buffalo, but still. I think that weather is moving out by the next following weekend, but it's a little too early to tell any specifics. But at least the deep cold that will be here on the middle of next week will kind of be easing back by the following weekend, if you will. So it won't be as arctic on Sunday as it may feel the middle of next week.
Okay, and then who knows? We don't know what the weather's going to be like, where the Bills are going to be after that, pal. We're just going to keep your head in a swivel. They could be in Jacksonville, Pittsburgh, Denver, back at home in Buffalo. Who knows? New England? I don't know.
Right. Denver, my goodness, it's like summertime in Denver, by the way. So maybe going there, they have not had winter weather at all there.
Yesterday, Washington, D.C., they said it was 52 degrees for the game in Washington.
Really?
Yeah. I turn on the game. They're like, yeah, it's Christmas, but you wouldn't know it. It's 52 degrees here. I'm like, what? That's in D.C. yesterday.
Yeah, it was a very, nationwide, coast to coast, it was a very warm Christmas. I mean, you wouldn't necessarily know it here. But, yeah, it was balmy in much of the country. That is about to change, though, as cold returns. But, yeah, it was a, you know, week, of course, it wasn't a white Christmas here. I would have thought for sure a white Christmas as the month started. But everything just kind of flipped about a week ago. But, anyway, we're going back to the cold next week.
Okay, buddy. We'll check in with you next week. Hope you have an amazing new year. And then we'll talk about what the weather holds for the final scheduled game ever at Highmark Stadium. Merry Christmas once again. We'll talk to you again next week. Thanks a lot, bud.
All right. Bye, Sal.
You got it. That is Pat Hammer, WGRZ TV2 Chief Meteorologist. We'll take a timeout. We'll come back here. And when we do come back, I promise you, I will talk about what's happening in the NFL coming up this weekend, independent of the Bills and the Eagles on Sunday.
RingCentral will completely transform the way you work. It gives you built-in AI across all your business conversations. Your phone system has an AI receptionist that answers calls 24/7. Your video meetings have AI that takes notes instantly. Even your contact center has AI, so you can help customers faster. It all comes together in one reliable platform for effortless AI communications. See for yourself at ringcentral.com. RingCentral, voice of your business.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
DSW's semi-annual sale is back. Take 50% off all clearance shoes in stores for a limited time. Literally every single clearance item at your designer shoe warehouse store is on sale right now. Sneakers, boots, dress shoes, if they're on the clearance racks, they're 50% off. So what are you waiting for? Don't sleep on these savings. Get to DSW ASAP. It's all or nothing, people. Shop the DSW semi-annual sale today.
You've built a killer sports podcast. You bring the heat every week, and you have a loyal audience. But when it comes to monetizing, you're still leaving too much on the table. That's where the Odyssey Creator Lab comes in. We host your show for free. No fees, no catch. You focus on delivering the play-by-play and hot takes, and our experienced sales team goes to work bringing in ad dollars. Let's turn those downloads into revenue. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and start making money from your podcast.
You want to have continuity. Continuity gives you a form this time of year and structure and just knowing each other defensively, or in this case, offensively in the pass game. That's important for us. And so we're very aware of that, heightened awareness of that, especially down the stretch. That's what we want. And where we're at are right now two different things. That's just being real with you here. So what we're trying to find that in order to get into here, it's taken longer than we would have liked.
Sean McDermott on everybody's favorite subject, the passing game. Brandon Cooks. Well, not much continuity or history or anything with Brandon Cooks and the Bills. He does have one catch so far. Was it the first play in New England? He had one catch, and that's been it. Five targets. I mean, the names are almost, well, a little bit of, they're just a little bit funny at this point. All the different names that have been through. The idea that any of this rides on the likes of Cooks or Mecole Hardman, any of it, it's just, it's not ridiculous, but it's amazing that all these years of success and being so close, it might be that somebody from that list of names, who knows who it is, even Josh Palmer, who's that? Their big get in the receiving game in the offseason, 20 catches through 16 weeks. Yeah, injuries, but not like he was piling up numbers. Anyway, thanks for listening, and Merry Christmas. That should have been easier once again. I'm Mike Shope. Bulldog is off through New Year's Day. Joining me now on the Westher Hotline, a man you know well, Sam Paniatovic, host of the Chicken Dinner podcast, owner of at least one ugly Christmas sweater, eater of two Christmas dinners yesterday. The man has been through it. And Sam, how are you feeling post-Christmas?
Oh, I'm so fat, Mike. It's a problem. You know, I told the story on the show. Joe and I did a Christmas night show. And, you know, somebody that I met at your party was like, wow, you're in better shape than I thought. And then yesterday somebody told me I was putting on pounds. So it hadn't even been a week, Mike. And I've just been destroying my body with food. And, you know, when you're back home for the holidays, the discipline just goes right out the door. I can also tell you this. About 5 minutes ago, I pulled over on the side of the road when I found out T.J. Watt wasn't playing, and I'm betting more and more on the Cleveland Browns. What could go wrong?
Wow. What's that number at this point? Is that moving?
It was 3. I mean, there's a chance it goes down 2.5, 2. I don't know if it's moved in the last 5 minutes. Yeah, so the wise guys bet Cleveland to begin with. They came in and they bet 4 and 3.5, and as of this morning, it was 3. But then the report just came out that T.J. Watt is not going to play, and then Jalen Ramsey is questionable. The market is being bet like the Browns are going to win the game outright.
What does the Ravens game being tomorrow mean to this? Like, if the Ravens lose and they're favored to lose in Green Bay, then who needs the Steelers? So maybe then, you know, your bet on Cleveland is safer.
Right. I mean, I don't think it's going to get any better than now. So if you have a 3, I mean, you didn't ask me for one of my favorite bets, but that's where we're starting. I think if you can bet Cleveland plus 3 right now, you're going to get a great number, and it's only going to move in your favor.
3, 34.5, Pittsburgh at Cleveland. Well, Sam, you've been very pro-Bills all season. It's interesting to me that we've made it through Christmas, and even though they're not in the division lead, they're still the best odds or shortest odds to win the conference in the AFC, better even than Denver, which helped itself in its positioning for the one seed last night. You texted me last night, you think the Bills are clearly superior to the Broncos.
I'm not afraid of them. I'm just not. They have a good team. They have an arguably great defense. And then you watch a third-string quarterback kind of do things. Granted, you know, the Chiefs didn't move the ball all that well, but the Chiefs were certainly in that game and had a chance to win that game outright with a guy I've never even heard of. And, Mike, I've been gambling on crazy things for a long time. I've never heard of that quarterback. And maybe that's my fault. But, like, to think that Bo Nix is going to go blow for blow with Josh Allen in the playoffs, I'm just not there. And, you know, I've been banging the drum for 6 weeks that Buffalo's the team to beat, and that's before Mahomes gets hurt and the Chiefs get knocked out. That's before, you know, the whole Burrow thing. Remember 4 weeks ago, oh, don't let Burrow come back and get hot. Okay, that ain't happening. Oh, what about Lamar? Okay, they're not going to make it, probably. And now it's like, now the hot thing is, oh, well, Jacksonville, yeah, okay, yeah. You trust the Jacksonville Jaguars in the playoffs? Give me a break. We're just looking for reasons as a collective, like a sports, you know, collective to not put the Bills far. And I'm just tired of it, man. And I understand that there are some issues with their defense, but there are issues with every team in the AFC. Like, there is no perfect team. There's no Brady Patriots. There's no Mahomes Chiefs. It's as wide open as it gets. And, you know, the disrespect is not only in the future market, but the disrespect is in this game for Sunday. I mean, this is a pick 'em offshore right now. Buffalo opened 3, Mike. Mm-hmm. And now we're 1, 1.5, and there are some pick 'em. So even on the day-to-day market, people are betting against Buffalo. And I don't get it, man. I don't get it.
And that's another one where a previous game, a game already having been played, could affect sort of at least the vibes. I mean, if New England were to lose somehow at the Jets, and I'm taking the points with the Jets on Sunday, it changes a lot for the Bills incentives-wise against Philadelphia. Is there a quarterback? I know you like to look at this point you make all the time with the AFC through the lens of the quarterbacks. Is there a close second? Is it not Lawrence? Is it Herbert or Stroud or May? Who is the quarterback, if there is one, that you think could, as you put it, go toe-to-toe with Allen?
That's a really good question. I haven't thought about this, and obviously you and I don't change notes or exchange notes beforehand. I would say at full health it's Herbert, but he's not healthy, and their line is just battered right now. But I'm a big fan of that Herbert-Harbaugh combination. So I guess I would put obviously, Allen's 1, Herbert 2, and then Lawrence 3, question mark?
Okay, above May?
Yeah, I need to see it from these kids. I think it's been a great season, but we've chronicled how easy their schedule has been in New England. I mean, they have, like, 1 win over a playoff team.
The
Bills. You're going to only play playoff teams. Yeah, right? You're only going to play playoff teams in the playoffs. Write that down and stamp it. So I'd like to see it from Nix. And last time we saw Nix in the playoffs, everybody knows what happened there. He turned into a pumpkin in the biggest moment. And I I need to see it from guys like Nix and guys like May. And even to an extent, a guy like CJ Stroud, who's, never really had a ton of playoff success. It's just, it's opening up in my eyes for Allen, man. As long as he plays an A game, they're not losing.
The Patriots will have a win over the eventual NFC South winner. Say what you want about that, as they've beaten both Carolina and Tampa for that list. Sam Paniadovich with me on the West Her Hotline. Merry Christmas. Mike Shopier, Bulldog, is off today. Let's talk about a couple of the awards markets. I know from watching you and Joe Ostrowski throughout the season that Offensive Rookie of the Year award, it was almost like there was a new favorite every week. Now you had Travion Henderson, and he might miss this game. He left early in Baltimore. What does that look like now?
So I'm pulling it up on my phone. Let's see how I can do two things at once here. So award market, offensive rookie, Tet McMillan. Holy cow, minus 310 at DraftKings right now. So it's his award to lose. But you know who the late riser is, like that horse that's kind of closing the gap? It's Tyler Shuck. I believe you talked about this maybe a week or two ago. I think it was you. You were like, that's not a bad number at 20-1. Try 4-1 on Tyler Shuck right now. So McMillan, the big favorite, minus 310. Shuck 4-1. Abuka 7-1. And then Henderson 20-1.
Is Shuck worth it at 4-1? I mean, they're nowhere near the playoffs. Tennessee and Atlanta the last 2 weeks. Can he do well enough? McMillan, it feels like McMillan is the favorite by default a little bit. I mean, he's good. He's been good. But Buka had it, and then he fell off, and then Dart might have had it, and that didn't. Now they don't want to throw the ball. Like, they're trying to preserve him. Henderson gets hurt. Judkins was interesting. He breaks his leg. It seems like somebody's going to back into that award.
Yeah, I don't know that there's a bet to be made. I mean, Joe and I didn't even want to bet Shuck at 20-1. So for me to even ponder it at 4, I want to slap myself in the face because I missed the best of it. I just don't think there's enough of a sample there. Like he hasn't played a lot relative to a guy like McMillan, who's been putting up big games here. And I think there's also an appetite. You got a lot of eyeballs on McMillan this weekend, and that's because Carolina is at home against Seattle. Everybody's darling now. There's an opportunity there for Carolina to put up some numbers and put up some points against a very good defense. So if McMillan has a 7-catch, 80-yard touchdown game, it's a wrap on Sunday.
I think so. Yeah, I was a little bit harsh on him. Having him in fantasy, it's been okay. I mean, it didn't bust like a lot of other guys did. He was a 3-4 turn kind of pick, I think, a little later, McMillan. But he's going to get to 1,000 yards, so maybe he really will deserve it in the end. How about Coach of the Year? There have been a few interesting candidates this year. Vrabel is so famous, and the Patriots have done so well, but other guys here and there have been interesting. Ben Johnson, or earlier in the season, it was Steichen in Indianapolis. That's over. What do you think happens there?
So this is always a very fun market because it's never the obvious choice. And as I say that, I look at Mike Vrabel at minus 110 and think, wow, that's a coin flip. That's what they're saying. They're basically giving you Vrabel against the field. And Vrabel's minus 110. McDonald, 330. Shanahan, 330. Johnson, 650. Again, you're betting this on December 26th. You're not going to get the best of the number. I think Kyle Shanahan has done the best job of any coach, given what he's dealt with, honestly. And you know me, I had that Niners win total over 10.5. Yoo-hoo! Nice win there. I mean, if I would have told you that Fred Warner and Bosa and Mikel Williams, their rookie first-rounder on defense, and Gross Matos, like all those guys would be out for the year and they would still win 13 games, like, you would have had me committed. But, I mean, what he's done with the offense and what Saleh's done with the defense, like, to me, that's the best combo in the league. And, they're probably going to beat the Bears on Sunday night and have, 12 wins? They could potentially, I don't think it's going to happen, but they could, win the West. If you wanted me to go outside Vrabel, I'd be looking at Shanahan at plus 330. You might be able to find a better price at a different book, but I'm not laying 110 on Vrabel, and I'm not taking Ben Johnson at 7-1 because I don't think the Bears win. Like, that game is very big for Coach of the Year. Shanahan against Johnson. Whoever wins that one has a chance to unseat Vrabel.
Yeah, seems like maybe Johnson at 7-1 is the bet rather than the Bears on the money line.
Yeah, no, that's a good call. Yeah, if you like the Bears, you might want to pop a little Ben Johnson 7-1. That's a great call.
And I like the Jets. So, am I crazy for liking the Jets, by the way?
No, at this point in time, these teams just got to stay healthy. I mean, do the Patriots really need to win by 21 points? I don't think so. And, you know, I think the Jets, they're spunky, to say the least. They can hang around. I don't think they're going to win, and you didn't say that, of course, but it's a big number to lay on the road in the NFL.
Right. Well, futures bets, we've taken the credit this year with certain bets that I've made along the way. Kansas City to miss, you know, that was Joe on the show with me that day thinking that, saying that was cute and, you know, they barely won another. I'm not sure they've won another game. I had Indianapolis at 8-2 to lose out. Whew. And I couldn't, I bother you often enough. I didn't find that anywhere. Like an alternate line where they were just going to go 0-7 in their last seven games. It's 0-5 so far, and like that's obviously live. But I cashed out on all the Colts stuff already, like to not win the division, to miss the playoffs, under 11.5. Come on, you know, we'll take our flowers on that one. But never. I wonder what that would have been, 8-2 to go to finish 8-9. What would the price on that have been?
Oh, geez. Probably 100-1 or higher. I mean, without doing any math on it, I mean, it's all math. But I would guess you'd be in the triple digit range, 100-1, 125-1. And they're probably going to get torqued by Jacksonville. I mean, that number's like 6. Jacksonville at Indy. That's a lesson. You know, when we get to this conversation next year and we look up after 10 games and team A is 7-3 with a guy like Daniel Jones at quarterback, just call me and we'll just yell short together. Like, short! You know, like, that's what you got to do because everybody starts getting crazy and, oh, well, you know, maybe they can win a playoff game. And the reality is what goes up must come down for the most part.
The thing for me, Sam, was their schedule. Jacksonville twice, Houston twice, San Fran, Seattle, and one more. And, like, all right, well, I don't think they're better than anybody there. So, I mean, you can't predict the injury to Jones, but it was still Daniel Jones. You know, tough season for them. Okay, so I guess next up for you and me is next Friday, and it'll be 2026.
Ooh, I can't believe we're this far, we're this long in the tooth. By the way, I don't know what the stipulations are because I'm not in New York. Obviously, you guys are. I do like Clemson tomorrow in the Pinstripe Bowl, which is at Yankee Stadium. I honestly don't know if you guys can bet that. I don't, because I don't know if you can bet on bowl games that are in the state of New York. I literally have no idea. But if you can, I like Clemson -2.5 against Penn State tomorrow.
I have it on my app, so yes.
Oh, fire. It's fire just, the cannon.
It has to be a New York team, apparently.
So. Okay. See, I always lose track. All these different states are always on their different iterations of the law and what works and what doesn't. So yeah. If you can bet Clemson, wink, wink, I would do it. There's going to be some news, I think, at Penn State tomorrow, some opt-outs. Sounds like they're down 4 starters on the offensive line. And James Franklin, Mike, he still has his hand in that cookie jar. He's trying to take guys to Virginia Tech, and a lot of that's going to come out tomorrow, in my opinion.
Clemson and Cleveland. We're into the orange helmets this weekend.
Oh, gross. Gross, dude.
Go get your money. Sam, Happy New Year. Thanks for your time, as always.
Happy New Year. Merry Christmas. I'll talk to you next week.
Sam Paniadovich, Chicken Dinner, his podcast with Joe Ostrowski. You can find that anywhere. Ian Rappaport reports that Max Crosby will be out Sunday. He's been battling a knee injury since October. Apparently, they've already put Brock Bowers down for the season. It's the Giants and the Raiders. The loser is in position A for the number one overall pick, and the Raiders seem to be acting like they know that, which I think I want to give them credit for. But to be fair, for many years I made the point, people pay for tickets. They deserve to see your best guys, so I don't know. When I would say that, we'll talk about this later maybe, when I would say that, I would roundly disagreed with on that point from people who largely had tickets to meaningless Bills games, like they didn't care. They understood. Protect your guys, better draft pick. I rarely talked to anybody in the drought years with this point in mind that thought it was also objectionable that teams would sit their best players in meaningless games. This was often more a point about the good teams who were resting guys, like Peyton Manning with the Colts, that kind of thing. Maybe we'll get back to that. 803-0550 if you have a take. At 4, Adam Krautwurst, then Paul Hamilton at 4:30. Justin, Jordan Love out for the Packers. It'll be Malik Willis and then probably Tyler Huntley in that game. Ravens, Packers. Interesting. Mike Shope here. This is WGR.
It's Paul Hamilton.
That's what they called me in college, was the bone.
He has the facts to back up his opinions.
People ask me, well, how are the Sabres going to, are they going to win tonight? I don't have a clue.
On WGR, Sports Radio 550.
All right, Paul Hamilton joins me ahead of the Sabres taking on the Bruins tomorrow night, which should be a really fun atmosphere down at KeyBank Center. The Sabres only 2 points right now out of a playoff spot, and Paul is on the West Her Hotline. Paul, I hope you had a really awesome Christmas. Merry Christmas, happy holidays to you.
Thank you. I hope Santa was good in your home also.
Yes, yes, he very much was. I want to start with a question that you can't quantify, right? You and I love these, I think you and I are very much cut of the same cloth, where there's a lot of things that happen in sports you can't quantify, but you just know they're there, right? You know what I mean?
Yeah.
How much does new injection, a change at the top, GM, Jarmo Kekäläinen, when players see things that are happening, new people coming in, veteran hockey people, how much can that, or do you think it may have had played a role so far in this resurgence and this winning streak?
Well, really, when I think about it, I think you and I could compare notes on the sports that we cover.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, look at the Buffalo Bills before Sean McDermott showed up and the shape that organization was in. He shows up. And I know culture is a buzzword that a lot of people don't like. And I agree, not all coaches and general managers can pull off culture. As a matter of fact, very few of them can. They all want to. They all talk about it. But very few. I had heard culture by Buffalo Bills coaches for I don't know how long, and it never worked. And then Sean McDermott shows up, and he has a culture of excellence that he ingrained in that organization from top to bottom, and it's how they live out there, and look at how it changed that franchise around, and now they're 7 years in a row in the playoffs when they went 17 years in a row without the playoffs, and now let's take it to the Buffalo Sabres. I think there's a possibility that Jarmo Kekäläinen can do some of the same things in changing the culture of the Buffalo Sabres the last 14 years.
Yeah, I don't disagree. I don't disagree. I think long term, it can definitely and it should make an impact. Do you think that in the moment when guys see that, does it have them look at things differently, look at their spot differently, know, hey, wait a minute, we got a guy here who, if I don't pick up my game, if I don't do the right things, if I'm not kind of changing the way I operate on or off the ice, things could be different for me. And does that have something to do with it, too, do you think, with some guys? We hear about guys not wanting to be in Buffalo. Let's be honest, though. Like, guys don't want to be, oh, my God, you're not part of what we want here. We want you out of here. A lot of times they want to be part of the solution. When you see something like that, I think about Rasmus Dahlin saying, hey, I'm excited. It's something new, obviously. He wasn't necessarily shooting a shot at Kevin Adams, but it injects new blood and new energy.
Yeah, what Rasmus Dahlin was doing was looking forward, and not looking back, looking forward. And that's how he felt looking forward. And it can. And when you turn an organization around like that, nobody wanted to play for the Buffalo Bills when they were losing all the time. Buffalo's that became the city and this, that, the other thing. Well, I think a lot of people want to play for the Buffalo Bills now. It's a mm-hmm. destination because of what Sean McDermott has built here, because of Josh Allen, because of the players that are here now, because of the winning. And that will happen in hockey, too. Yeah, the Buffalo Sabres are not a destination right now. Who wants to come and watch this team lose for 14 years in a row and that type of thing? And then, once again, people start thinking it's the city. No, it's not the city. When Daniel Breer and Ryan Miller and Chris Drury were around, people wanted to come to the Buffalo Sabres. They weren't all upset about it. They wanted to come and be a part of that. And if the Buffalo Sabres start winning, that will all change again. People will want to become to the Buffalo Sabres. So it's not because people hate the city. It's they hate the losing. And once you become a winning organization and a class organization, people will come. Trust me.
I 100% agree. I mean, the comment from Kevin Adams, obviously, that he never should have said was the palm trees comment. We all understand that. There's also a little bit of truth that lies into what he said. You just can't say it. But really what it is he's basically saying, hey, if you're not winning, you better give other reasons to come here. But winning trumps everything, and they haven't won. And now you're right. If you start winning, that trumps all that stuff about taxes or palm trees or anything like that. And hopefully that can continue on, because right now the Sabres have won 7 in a row. I'm looking back at some of these games. You have one goal game, one, two, one. They're winning tight, close games. What's been the difference in this 7-game stretch?
Starting with the Seattle game, every single game since then, they have been protecting one-goal leads in the third period. That is something brand new in Saberland. They could not protect leads on a consistent basis to save their lives. You know, the other team would pull their goaltender. They're going to score. You know they're going to score. And in the game where you should have picked up 2 points and given up none, you wind up losing in overtime, and you picked up 1 point and gave the other team two. And that was more of their the way they operated. But now they're not afraid of protecting a lead. First, they're getting good goaltending. You got to get good goaltending if you're going to protect the lead. And they're not giving the puck away. They're not putting their goaltender in very bad situations. On a rare occasion, maybe, yes, you're not perfect. So, yeah, you're going to get the occasional giveaway that might turn into a breakaway, and then your goaltender has to make a big save, which has happened. But for the most part, their puck management has been excellent in those third periods. They're giving up very, very little, and it's everybody buying in. Even guys who really haven't played well defensively are playing well defensively when they're you know, trying to protect the lead. The only time it didn't work, it did actually work 5-on-5. They were protecting the lead against the Islanders, and then took a penalty, and the Islanders scored on a 6-on-4. And you know, then the Sabres were still able to win the game in overtime, but unfortunately for them, they gave up a point to the Islanders, who were one of the teams they're chasing. But that's the only time it didn't work. But in reality, it did work. I'm talking 5-on-5 protecting leads. It did work. Now, Ottawa, Alex Tuch took a penalty that he was nervous about. I asked him after the game. I said, "Were you nervous in a tie game that you were going to lose the game, or were you confident in a penalty kill that's been number one in the league for a lot of the years?" And he just laughed and he said to me, "Both." You know, he wasn't happy. And that is the one thing they have not fixed yet. They got to stop taking these late third period penalties. They just have to stop doing that. It's going to come back and haunt them. They got away with it against Ottawa. They won the hockey game, and they won the hockey game against the Islanders, but they did give up a point because of it. That's the one thing they have not fixed, and that's something they need to fix.
Paul, I thought maybe we'd see some goaltending movement after what we heard Kekalainen say. I mean, he's kind of made it known it's not ideal to have three goalies. They'd like to get down to two. We know that Ellis had been out also with the concussion. Where does everything stand right now from what you've seen as far as how they've played? And, you know, Alex Lyon, of course, obviously playing pretty well, but also kind of what you think the organization wants to do going forward.
Well, Lukanen stepped in. He hadn't played in a while. He hadn't played since Calgary when he got pulled. Mm-hmm. And that's when Lyon started his streak of playing in every game. And he hadn't won a game on the road all year. He was 0-4-1. And he stepped in New Jersey and was phenomenal. Played his best game of the year, I thought. Made some huge saves in the first period when the Sabres didn't have their game yet. And, you know, so he showed, and he said afterwards to reporters that, look at, it didn't matter on the road, at home, or whatever. I got to start playing better hockey.
Mm-hmm.
And he knew it. And he did for that one game. So now both goaltenders have been involved in this little streak. And, you know, now Lindy Ruff can look at Lukanen and say, okay, I liked his last game. When I got to throw him in there, you know, he's going to be okay. So, you know, Kekalainen has not been at the job for all that long. And this is not a time of year where a lot of trades are made. There were a few right before the freeze. The freeze ends on the 28th, so next couple of days.
Mm-hmm.
The roster freeze, and then you can start making trades again. Right now, they have a goaltender on injured reserve, so they do only have two goaltenders right now. But, you know, that goaltender is in practice, so you're back to three goaltenders in practice. So Kekalainen has to make a decision on how he wants to go. You know, Lyon's on a 2-year contract. It's not like it never happens where a 32-year-old goaltender is on top of his game for a long time through his 30s. There's some in the league right now that are doing it. So, you know, does he decide that maybe Lyon with one of the young goaltenders is the future? And I include Levi in that. You know, make a decision that maybe Lyon is the guy we go forward with. Now, who do we pair him with? Do we pair him with Ellis? Do we pair him with Lukanen? Or do we pair him with Levi? What's the future of the team? He's got to look out forward also, too. And he scouts all the time. He knows what's going on with Lukanen. He's seen Lukanen all through his career. So it's not like he has to play catch-up here. He knows these goaltenders, and he knows, you know, where they are in their careers and that type of thing. He's been watching a lot of Rochester American games, and I'm sure he's very aware of what Devin Levi's done when he's been in the NHL, too, and where he is in his development. So I think that's where the decision lies. If you're like Kukalainen, do you think Lyon has a future? And if you do, which young goaltender are you going to pair with him? And then you probably, the other two are on their way.
Paul, injury updates. We know Timmons is out, obviously, long-term right now with the broken leg. Tyson Kozak, Jason Zucker, Justin Danforth, anything that we know on any of these guys?
Well, I'm wondering if we see Zucker out there for the morning skate tomorrow because Lindy Ruff said he had a conversation with Zucker. This was probably about a week ago, and that he's looking at right after Christmas. So we'll see. Of course, there's no practice today. And no team, by the way, just people are wondering, the Bruins cannot travel today. They have to travel day of the game, just like preseason.
Yeah, good point.
In preseason, they all travel day of the game. So they could either leave at 3 o'clock and show up for the game day, or sometimes, and the Sabres have done this before, they leave like at 8 or 9 o'clock, do the morning skate on the road, get day rooms so they can nap or whatever,
yep,
and then do the game. But no team can travel today. They have to all wait till tomorrow morning.
By the way, I'm glad you brought up the Bruins. I was going to ask you about them. They've lost 4 in a row, 5 of 6. They're a team that's been a bit surprising to me. I didn't think they'd be even in the mix. I thought they were going to have a pretty hard reset year, but maybe coming back to earth here. And this is a team 1 point ahead of the Sabres. What have you seen from the Bruins this year, and how important is it to make sure that you bury this team as they start their 5-game road trip?
Well, they certainly have had the Sabres number. Mm-hmm. Both games were in Boston. Buffalo, one of their worst games of the year was against the Bruins. Yeah, I think maybe they're now playing to what we were expecting before. The Sabres are now ahead of them in points percentage. I always qualify this. I do standings by points percentage because it takes the games in hand out. So that would put the Sabres, they would only have to leapfrog two more teams points percentage-wise. Yep. They're at 556. The Senators are 569. And the Capitals are in that last playoff spot at 581. So the Sabres are past the Boston Bruins when it comes to points percentage, 556 to 539. The biggest thing that surprised me about the Boston Bruins, I never in a million years figured Morgan Geekie to have 25 goals at this point of the season and be one of the leading goal scorers in the league. It started last year. Last year he became a goal scorer in this league, and I just never really figured Morgan Geekie as a goal scorer, you know, and then all of a sudden that happens sometimes with players, and now he's taken off, and I guess last year wasn't a fluke because he's got 25 goals this year too, and he scored a big goal against the Sabres in Boston. So, you know, it's definitely along with Pasternak. And it's interesting that Pasternak only has 14 goals to 25 for Geekie. You know, those are the two guys that really, you know, the Sabres have to make sure don't get going crazy against them tomorrow.
Paul, anything on Yuri Kulik?
Yeah, Kukalainen, when we spoke with him in Ottawa, said that really he doesn't have any update as far as when he could be back. And you know how teams are sometimes. They don't want to give you an update. But honestly, I think he was 100% telling the truth. This is a blood clot. You can't predict them. You can't predict when a blood clot will be dissolved or when it will be gone or when you're no longer in danger, you know, as far as trying to play or something like that. So I 100% believe him when he says that, you know, they just don't know when Kulik. You know, I saw, you know, there was a one practice. He was standing at the bench. He often is over there. But, you know, he had a stick, but he was just, like, leaning over the boards, like passing the puck to players and stuff like that, you know, in his gym shorts and stuff. So you know, that he has not been on the ice yet or anything like that. So it's just kind of a waiting game. And you wonder how he – does he feel good? Like, does he feel like a normal person? But he knows this is inside his body and he has to take care of it. It's a dangerous thing. I mean, that's probably the thing. He may feel fantastic. But you have to be careful with something like this, like a blood clot.
Paul, you and I have not talked since the Sabres made a couple other additions to the front office. Just about a minute or so left here. Just your overarching, maybe if you could explain to people what Mark Bergevin and Josh Flynn bring to the organization. Flynn is assistant GM, and Bergevin is the associate GM.
Yeah, Flynn has always done contracts, the CBA. I read today that, you know, he was kind of the one that convinced John Tortorella that analytics are a good tool to use in your coaching and things like that. So he's been around a while, somebody that Kukalainen, as Kukalainen said, he knows exactly how I want things done and how I want things set up. As far as Bergevin, that's a great hire. I mean, another former general manager of the Montreal Canadiens was GM of the Canadiens for about as long as Kukalainen was for the Columbus Blue Jackets. So just, I think that's a great add to the organization, just to bring another person in. And Kukalainen is the type of guy, he doesn't want to sit at a meeting table with the hockey department and have everybody said, yeah, Jarmo, you're right, Jarmo. That's right. That player does exactly that. He wants to be challenged. If somebody at that table doesn't think a player think the same thing of a player as Kukalainen does, he wants to hear that. He wants to know that. And then they'll discuss, well, why do you think he's there as opposed to why I think he's here? So those are the types of things I think you're going to get from Bergeron and other people that I think he'll bring into the organization.
Tomorrow night should be fun, Paul. It's one of those times at the arena that we haven't had enough of, you know what I mean, over the last 14 years, obviously. But I think tomorrow's going to be one of them. Holiday weekend, you got the Eagles in town against the Bills. It's a Boston Bruins. Like, I close my eyes and I think about Boston Bruins hockey back in the 80s and, you know, 70s and brawls. And, I mean, it comes to life when they're here anyway sometimes, especially some of the Boston fans that come to town. But I think tomorrow's going to be a pretty fun night in the arena.
Yeah, I don't know if it's still this way, but when I was in college, these are the games, you know, you come back for Christmas break.
Yep.
So you get a lot of college kids in
right.
there who are home for the holidays and go to a Sabre game. I used
Love
to.
It. Yep.
And I used to look around and see a lot of people, and I honestly don't know if it's still that way, but I loved it back when I was a student.
Should be very fun. Thanks a lot, Paul. We'll catch up this weekend. And, of course, PHAM1717, where everybody can follow him on Twitter. Thanks a lot.
No problem. Take care.
All right, you got it. Paul Hamilton right there on the Western Hotline. We'll take a timeout. When we come back, and do you see the story about the Jets and what they did to this fan? What they did to the fan. Like, the Jets kind of, you know, there's teams that just can't get out of their own way, right? New York Jets, not Winnipeg, by the way. We just talked hockey. There's teams that can't get out of their own way. I ran across this story today. I'm like, come on, really? I want to share this story with you when we come back and get more into Bills-Eagles memories as we head toward the 11 o'clock hour. We'll take a look at the AFC playoff picture and your calls. Do you have a preferred outcome? What are you looking for here as far as the Bills and the seeding and how everything looks in the AFC playoffs? Sean McDermott, a little after 11 a.m. here on the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show on WGR.
RingCentral's AI receptionist uses voice AI to answer on the first ring, so you'll never miss a call again. In just a few minutes, you can personalize your own AI receptionist to answer questions, route calls, schedule appointments, and even send texts in multiple languages. Plus, it's easy to scale. Create unlimited AI receptionists across any phone system. It's all powered by one reliable platform for effortless AI communications. See for yourself at ringcentral.com. RingCentral, voice of your business.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
You've built a killer sports podcast. You bring the heat every week, and you have a loyal audience. But when it comes to monetizing, you're still leaving too much on the table. That's where the Odyssey Creator Lab comes in. We host your show for free. No fees, no catch. You focus on delivering the play-by-play and hot takes, and our experienced sales team goes to work bringing in ad dollars. Let's turn those downloads into revenue. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and start making money from your podcast.